Rural Focus.
Hello there to you and welcome to another Rural Focus podcast here on the Listener app. Thank you for joining us today. Hey, very soon we're going to catch up with Dan, the Sunwise man. After the federal election across the weekend, plenty of people speaking about solar and emissions and everything else. So we'll catch up with Dan about that. Also, very soon this morning, we'll catch up with Ben from the Condinan Group because, he and a few others are out and about doing some silo testing. Interesting to see what the results are. I think it's a little bit too early just yet, but we'll catch up with Ben from the Condinan Group very, very soon. But of course, after the federal election that did happen across the weekend, well, Aussies voted and, well, sort of seems the way that we Aussies want more to combat climate change. And I did hear from the Chief Executive Officer, Fiona Davis, from Farmers for Climate Action. Fiona had this to say just a couple of days ago.
The issue of climate change was incredibly important. And the vote for climate was not just seen in city seats, the Teal Independents. In regional seats across the country, voters backed candidates who backed stronger climate policy.
So yes, that was Chief Executive Officer Fiona Davis speaking there, Farmers for Climate Action. Going forward, who knows what's going to happen? Well, as I mentioned on today's show, of course, Ben from the Condinan Group, he's out with a few people doing some silo testing. Hello there to you, Ben, and how's it all going?
Yeah, that's right. On the road, as we tend to do, getting a bunch of silos together isn't really an option. So it's a job to get on the road, go and have a look at a stack of installs and silos that have been built in the last 12 months. So yeah, doing a bit of a road trip from Melbourne up to Toowoomba over sort of stretch of 4 or 5 days, and we've got about 8 or 9 different makes and models of silos to look at on this side of the country, and then we'll do the same on the west coast again, and then we're in South Australia as well. So yeah,
a national silo testing tour, mate.
That's right, mate. Yeah, absolutely. We are covering the bases. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So what are you looking for, and what are you looking at?
But we're doing the rounds, having a look at the various features of the silos, having a look at inlet, outlet design. Pressure relief valves, access to the top lid, all the things that make a silo functional. And we're also doing an Australian standard pressure test, Troy, which is an AS2628 test. So that involves pressurising the silo to 250 pascals of air pressure, which is not a lot, to be honest. Yeah. And then we monitor how long the silo can hang on to that air pressure. We've got a little pressure gauge, keep an eye on it, and then, do a full sort of report of features we do and don't like and things that, that each silo does well. And it's a pretty interesting job because as I say, a lot of the silo features are quite different from make to make, yeah. So it's good stuff.
Are the silos over there different to what they are over here, mate?
Well, we certainly see a lot more flat bottom silos on the east coast. So while you've got some growers that have got large storages in the west, we tend to have a lot more what's called elevated cone based silos. And look, there's a lot of those on the east coast as well. In the same way that we use elevated cone based silos for mostly seed, that's what they're predominantly used for here on the east coast as well. But the large flat bottoms for longer term, larger volume storage, and there's literally millions of tons of storage that have been installed on the east coast in the last sort of 2-3 years post drought. They've had some pretty big crops, and of course we don't have a bulk handler like CBH on the east coast, or nearly as efficient. So we're pretty lucky to have CBH that carry a fair bit of that grain load straight off harvest for us, means that the smaller silos we've got are mainly used for seed, but people use it for market bound grain as well.
Has anything sort of caught your eye that you sort of thought, oh, didn't think about that in the past?
Look, there's certainly some new models and design features that we haven't seen in the past. So some different aeration designs, and aeration is a pretty useful tool when it comes to grain storage. So yeah, look, we've seen a few new makes and models, and some styles of silo that we looked at in 2018 that have had quite a bit of improvement some features that have been redesigned and reinvigorated. So yeah, having a look at those that's always pretty interesting for someone like myself who does a fair bit of work in the grain storage area. Troy.
And you go through like the agility of a silo and everything else, mate, or?
Well, I think one of the things that we've noticed is some of the features that really stand out are things like access ladders, and some are fantastic and some are quite tragic, really, and to the point where you've got to, you know, climb out sort of off the top of the ladder with a safety harness on to unlatch the top lid. Well, you know, others are just completely ground operated.
Yeah,
so some, you know, you really got to work to seal up, which was what we need to do an effective fumigation of grain in a silo. Others are really quite simple, Troy. So, it's a bit of a mixed bag. But, you know, we're talking about like sheds, and I know that we've spoken and Mark and Josh have spoken with you about it recently. The price of sheds has gone up, the material has gone up, and silos are the same. So, you know, a lot of people who install silos have sort of found that, you know, A, they're difficult to get, and the price is also going up pretty quickly at the moment, just because the raw materials are going up quite quickly.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So anything else you'd like to add, mate? Because I know that you had a busy time this morning.
Yeah, no, well, looking forward to putting this report together, and it'll be in the August edition. So it's a little while away, but of course, with quite a bit of travel required for this report, we're getting into it early. So that'll be the August edition of Farming Ahead. We'll have a wrap-up of silos and grain storage and a few ideas there for people who are looking to make an investment in that area.
All right, mate, good luck with your silo testing over there on the East Coast. We look forward to hearing from you again very soon.
Lovely. Thanks very much. I'll try and bring some rain. It's a little bit too much over here. We're going to try and bring a little bit back for WA.
Oh, there's been a bit over here too, mate.
All right. Well, I shouldn't have gone so quickly. Maybe I should have stayed there and just enjoyed it while I was there, mate.
Yeah, just... Enjoy, mate.
Good on you. Thanks, Troy.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
It is Troy for your Tuesday Rural Focus. Wouldn't be the Tuesday show without catching up with this gentleman, Craig Walker from Nutrient. Good morning.
Morning. How are you, my friend? How's the suntanning been going over the last couple of days?
just great, mate. Yes, fantastic. Yes, I go two colours, white or red. But anyway, there hasn't been too much sun about.
No, there hasn't. So you might go three colours of blue in there.
A very nice shade of blue. But anyway, nice that the rain's here for our farmers, mate.
Absolutely. It's been pretty heavy sort of rainfall. I know that some of the people out around Wiluna, there's been some pretty heavy, substantial rainfall out around that neck of the woods and through the Pilbara, some parts of Meekatharra, and across to the Gascoyne have had some, you know, varying sort of results. But it's coming through, and some of the reports that are coming out of that country is actually first time in a long time it's shaping up like they're going to have a winter season, which is really good for the producers out there. And of course, if you look through the Midwest and parts of the wheat belt, the average break is about the 22nd of May, and I think the average time people have finished seeding is about the 24th.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's everybody is well and truly in advance of where they normally are, and it's great. There's a lot of confidence around in the industry at the moment, given that there's a fair bit of uncertainty with some parts of the industry.
Certainly is. Musho yesterday, mate. Did it go ahead or did it get washed out yesterday?
No, I went ahead, mate.
Went ahead?
Went ahead. It's a fantastic complex, Musho, if you haven't been there. It's ideal to get in there and have a look all under cover. It's very similar to Katanning and the other sale yards around Australia. But there was 950 head of cattle that were yarded. It was pretty mixed, and there was a lot of pastoral cattle that were coming in, and prices really fluctuated on the quality. There was a stronger trend throughout most categories, except for the big heavy herd bulls, and there was a slight correction there. But in the weaner steers, we saw local steers making up as much as $6.20 a kilo. We saw heifers making as much as $5.58 for your better Angus types. Processors pushed prime heavy cows, and they're sort of cows better than 550 kilos in score 3 condition. They made in excess of 340 cents a kilo to top out at 344. And a lot of your other medium cows and better sort of finishing cows, they averaged about $3.26. As we said, we saw yearling steers. They sold from $4 to $5.80 for locally bred and $3.80 to $5.76 for pastoral types. Yearling heifers returned $3.50 to $5.30 and for locals, and then pastoral types. Really, this is where the quality depends, whether or not the breeding and the genetics that are there, from $2.70 to $3.98. Heavy steers above 440 kilos, they made between $3 and $4.42 to processors, while growing heifers sold from $3.04 to $4.08. In the cow market, this is where we saw the strengthening again, as that market sort of bumps along pretty well. We saw $2.92 to $3.44 for your better heavy cows over 500 kilos. Stores sold from $2.24 to $3.26. And they were your sort of cows about 370 kilos to about 440 kilos. And then your lighter cows, your cows under about 350 kilos, sorry, they made $1.48. And your better types up to about 330 to 360 kilos, they made $3.06. And big heavy bulls, they topped out at $2.86. So it was, and your light chipping bulls, they topped up to $5.28, but most sales around $4.60. So it was a pretty strong market right through, mate, and it was good to see that the demand is there. And also in Mouche, I think there's two truckloads of sheep to be sold today. There's about 1,400 head that were, it was a bit more than that, but there's 1,400 head that have been nominated for sale today, and that's on the back of some of the issues that we're facing that we touched on right at the beginning there of labour shortages people not being able to get animals processed. And it's really becoming a bit of an issue. I know that we're about 12 to 13 months behind the East Coast with the, you know, they've gone through this process, but we're working our way through it. There still is positive light at the end of the tunnel. You just got to hold fire and maybe consider different avenues with your sheep and different feeding regimes. You know, there is options, and I know that this is one extraordinary year.
Yep.
So if we have a look at 1 in 10 and just put it all into perspective, it's that 1 year that we've got to do things different, and we've got to be creative, and we've also, you know, whether or not it means we feed a bit longer, we target the hogget market later on. If we don't get our lambs up, do we carry them through with the wool market that are as strong as it is? Do we shear our sheep? Now, I know there's a shortage of shearers, but you know, we can work with our shearing contractors. And let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's be really creative and think and communicate with agents and growers and industry representatives right through. And I think that we'll get through it, and we'll learn a lot. I think that's the big thing.
Mate, exports, how are they looking?
Yeah, Australia, if we look at the cattle exports, Australia exported just under 38,000 cattle in April, according to the Department of Agriculture's data, taking the total number shipped so far for 2022 to 164,000 head. That's actually out of 5-year averaging low for the first 4 months of the year. But you've got to put that down, put it into perspective. There's like a lot of figures that can dance around everywhere. And that's on the back of the heavy rains that have been through Queensland, the dry time, you know, in recent months, and then the drier times earlier on, the big sell-off. So, you know, and cattle not making the weights. But if we have a look at exports to Indonesia, which dominated the trade activity, with just shy of 31,000 cattle being shipped for the month, 13% below for the 5-year average for April. In that volume, almost half the cattle, 14,500 cattle, were exported from Darwin, with the balance shipped out of Broome of 8,737, Townsville 4,100, and Wyndham 3,576, and only 2,208 cattle were exported to Vietnam in one of the shipments out of Fremantle, with 1,609 breeder cattle were exported to China, which is interesting, and 1,596 cattle went to Israel in April, also all out of Fremantle. So it's a really, really interesting situation that we're in at the moment. I think going forward, you'll see a little bit more. They'll start to roll out. We're looking at, you know, most of the approximately 30 livestock vessels are or have been accredited in recent years, enabling them to ship cattle from Australia, but only half of them are actually operating out of Australian ports at the moment. The other half are operating out of South America, China, and in between the Middle East and Europe. So, you know, the great thing is that out of every adversity, and we saw it with live export in 2011 with what went on, as an industry and agriculture, you know, our people have got the most positive attitude. You know, we cop the kick in the belly a little bit, and then we turn around and say, right, how do we fix it? And as I said, 30 vessels in the cattle job are actually registered and accredited to cart cattle out of Australia, which I think is an absolute credit to everyone involved in it, and shows that we don't sit around on our hands. And you know, what's going to happen with the Labor government in there and live export? I think that this is where our industry gets on the front foot, and we start to show how good we are. But we need to talk as a united front. We can't have two industry bodies representing growers and farmers that are arguing amongst each other and industry representatives. We need everybody's united front showing what we can do, what we do, and if it does go or there is alterations to it, well then, let's say, let's work with it and try and make it happen. And as I said, going back earlier, with the slaughtering of lambs, keeping communication, there's always an opportunity somewhere, and let's investigate what we can do rather than what we can't do.
No, certainly. Busy day, busy rest of the week for you, mate.
Yeah, busy week coming up. We've got preparations for our June special cattle sale that'll be coming up towards the end of June. I know it's about a month out, but there's going to be some fantastically bred local cattle that'll go up in those markets. We're starting to talk to our people about their breeder markets for their sheep coming up in the spring. Don't forget the ram sales are not far around the corner and the field days and so forth. So yeah, the industry just moves on. It just is one wheel that just keeps on grinding from season the season, and it's the exciting part about our industry, mate. So there's always something going on.
Certainly is. Mate, have a great day, have a great week, and we'll chat to you again next week.
Mate, look forward to it. Stay safe, stay healthy, and don't forget to keep in touch with your mates and make sure that everyone's doing all right.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Time for a Tuesday morning to catch up with Dan, the Sunwise man. Don't think there's too much sun out at the moment, but anyway, good morning, mate.
It's great weather for ducks, isn't it?
It is a great weather for ducks, mate. So with weather like this, does it make it a bit of slow time for you, or what's the go?
Oh, nah. So this is where off-grids, to be honest, this is where the off-grid market sort of kicks in again at this time of year. Basically, quite often people's batteries and stuff have actually started to get a bit tired, and they don't realise it with the long days. So these systems that are 10 to 12, 20 years old start to get a bit run down, and so we do a lot of battery replacements and things like that at this time of year.
All right.
So it's busy time.
Talk us through dual face, yay or nay?
Nay.
Okay.
Still nay.
Okay.
Don't do it. If you are on rural, the rural 480, the split phase, the dual phase, whatever you want to call it, do not get solar. Don't do it, because you will end up tripping yourself up. Western Power, under their approvals process, if you are on a sole use transformer, you will be swapped out to 20 amp circuit breaker, which for layman's terms, that's 4 kilowatts, which means, you know, you put on a toaster and a kettle on the same phase at the same time, you will trip your whole farm. Don't do it.
Okay.
You can only go off grid with that one. And like, you know, if you've already gone there, geez, we do have solutions, but we'll be taking you off grid. Yeah.
Mate, what can you tell us about?
It's a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, righto. What can you tell us about Victron?
Victron. Okay, so instead of harping on the doom and gloom of the Grid Connect world, off-grid. Victron is an off-grid battery management system that started out in the Netherlands. They're on all the ships, so because ships have shore power, they have power when they're docked out there running on gensets, and then they run off engines as well. So they've got all these different ways that they can get power. So Victron has become a really versatile off-grid as well. They can be AC coupled and DC coupled, so you can have both. What AC coupled is you've got your panels on the roof, they feed down to a solar inverter, very much like what you got on the grid. It covers your loads, and then you have excess energy feedback to a battery management system, which is Victron in this case, and then it gets stored into lithium iron phosphate batteries, and you do have a backup generator, you know, should you need it. The secondary bit that Victron sort of is very exclusive to is they can be DC coupled at the same time. What DC coupled is where you got your panels, they feed into a regulator and then into your batteries. So the advantage of this system, say your generator faults for whatever reason, and in an off-grid, generators are the things that generally fail first.
Okay.
And you run your batteries flat. In an AC coupled system, the system just doesn't restart automatically. It needs an input to get it to go again. A DC coupled system, as soon as the sun comes up the next morning, she's off and away she goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a better system, being able to actually do both of them, do the AC and the DC. So that's something that we are doing a fair bit of, and we're also doing a lot with Selectronic, which is another battery management system, which is Australian made. So yeah, that's what we're doing at the moment, and we're doing like, geez, so many of these a week. It's getting a bit crazy, really.
Crazy but good.
Crazy good.
Yep.
Yeah, always good.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, love it.
Question without notice this morning, mate. After Saturday's federal election, a lot of Australians want stronger climate change action. How will this look for, say, you and the energy sector teams?
Well, this, it'll be interesting. I obviously, there's going to be a boost in renewables.
Yep.
You know, that's a given.
Yep.
I'm very, very, very interested to see how they're going to prevent it becoming a pink bat scheme and it becoming a bit of a disaster. You know what I mean? Like, you see all these companies out there that don't really know what they're doing, and they're putting on these batteries which are actually technically bombs. You know, if you put a battery on the wrong way, it can explode.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to see how they actually in a sort of a gradual way to actually keep the quality there. I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few months, maybe the next few years. But, we'll keep a close eye on that. You and the team at Sunwise Energy, mate, busy out and about?
Very much so. So I was actually in your area last week. I did hit you up to catch up for a beer, and what'd you do?
I knocked you back.
You did. You said no. I don't blame you, I guess, Troy. A lot of people in the same boat would have done the same thing. But yeah, we're certainly out and about at the moment.
Yeah, it made me feel bad. Go on.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for showing the love,
Troy. Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, good on you.
The truth is you had COVID or something, didn't you?
I did, mate. I did, yes. All good now.
Oh, good. No more spicy cough.
You're probably not coming back Northern Way now, are you? No.
No.
All right. So if people want to know more with you and the team there at Sunwise Energy, they can check out the website, mate.
Yeah, check us out on the website, sunwiseenergy.com.au. If they want to see up-to-date installs and some really borderline jokes, check us out on Facebook. Or you can give us a call, 9791117, and speak to me and the team, and we can have a chat in depth about solar and off-grids and batteries and all that sort of jazz.
Sounds good, mate. Now that you're busy, thanks for your time as always. We'll chat again soon.
Awesome, Troy. Chat to you soon.
Yes, we'll certainly have to wait and see. But yeah, plenty of Australians wanting stronger climate change action. Just what would it look like with the energy sector? Certainly interesting times ahead. Do thank Dan for coming on this morning and chatting about solar. Could you be going the solar way? If you are, don't forget just to do your homework and to look on into it. Maybe get in contact with the team at Sunwise Energy there today. I've been Troy Stockton. This has been another Rural Focus podcast. Hey, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to bringing you another Rural Focus podcast again very soon.